song. If you listen to recordings from messages here, it's all, it always begins the same way, very profound. August just prayed over me and my mouth, and when you open your mouth, I got wrecked at the standing where I ran the week in the bath, and I just sat there and cried. So you, I want you to know that when you opened your mouth, you released something. And it hit me. I don't know if anybody else got whacked, but I got whacked. So I am Deborah Daniels Albrecht, and I'm part of the team here. I just want to thank Ashley for giving me this opportunity to share with you some of the ministry that I do here at Christ Healing Center. That's one of the things I love so much about our team is there's such a unity and there's such a generosity in this team. Of all the people who are involved in Awake, the recognition of what we each participate in. Glenn was here last week with the Mother's Blessing, and I just love that. There's such power in unity. That's the body. That's the way we're designed to operate. And so I just kind of want to honor and thank Ashley and Casey and everybody on the team for giving me this opportunity. And let's see. You know, in middle age when you have more than one pair of glasses? These are cuter, but I can actually see you with these. So, and I think I look kind of smarter with these. You know, I look like a Bible scholar. But, yeah, okay. No, I don't. So, that's clear. 1 John 3:8. The Son of God appeared for this purpose. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come in the flesh? We're about to find out. Why did he show up on earth so that we could have access to him physically, so that we could touch him, so that we could see him, so that we could hear him speak? The reason the Son of God appeared, was manifested in the flesh, was to destroy the works of the devil. Undo, unravel, dissolve. Those are all additional definitions of that word, destroy. I like unravel. Because one of the ministries that I'm a part of here at Christ Healing Center is ministering to trauma. And trauma ties knots in our soul. And we watch Jesus come in and unravel. And he's going to do that for you today. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm speaking. That's the anointing that August released when she began to worship. So I want you to know as you're sitting there, you don't have to do a thing because he's here to do something for you today. To unravel, to dissolve, to undo, to destroy something the enemy has done in your life. Colossians 2:15 says that at the cross, Jesus disarmed. So imagine disarming a weapon, a bomb, a soldier, disarming them. He disarmed the principalities and the powers that were ranged against us. He triumphed over them. He made a public spectacle of them. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is still disarming with that finished work of the cross, disarming the enemy that stands against you. Yes. He's doing it today. Reappropriate the finished work of the cross. It's like a gift. It's been sitting there all along. Maybe we didn't even know it was in there. And we open it up because it's got our name on it. This has your name on it. He did it for you. He disarmed the enemy that was standing against you. And he triumphed. There's another scripture that says, we are led by Christ, who always gives us the victory. Jesus always wins. I keep in my Bible, the other one, and Ace of Spades card to mark that scripture. It's the card that trumps everything. It wins. It always wins. If you have the Ace of Spades, you win. Jesus always wins. I've been hearing a number of teachers in my life talk about seed. Ashley's talked about it, Casey's talked about it, my friend Kelly Festy has talked about it. We're really focusing on seed, it seems like. There's a lot of messages that I'm listening to right now. And in Matthew 13:7, the story, Jesus tells a story that we all know about someone sowed good seed. The seed was good, but where it landed determined its fate. And so there are certain scriptures in the Bible that I apply to the ministry that I'm a part of, which is inner healing, freedom, identity restoration, healing from trauma, physically and emotionally. And so a lot of times scriptures jump out at me because they remind me of what we do. And there's one seed I just want to read to you really quickly. It's the seed that fell in Matthew 13. It's the seed that fell among the weeds. And in verse 22, Jesus explains this one. The seed sown among weeds represents the person who receives the message, but all of life's busy distractions, cares, his divided heart, and his ambition for wealth result in suffocating the kingdom message and prevent him from bearing spiritual fruit. His divided heart. What I know and what I see is that trauma divides our hearts. Trauma comes in and divides our heart so that we are no longer wholehearted. And so trauma can come and choke out with distraction and care and fear and worry. Trauma can choke out that good seed that you've been given. Also in Matthew 13, Jesus tells this story about, and I may have shared this once before, he says that a farmer planted good seed in his field, but at night when everyone was asleep, an enemy came and planted poisonous weeds among the wheat and then ran away. When the wheat sprouted and bore grain, the weeds also appeared. So the farmer's hired hands came to him and said, "Sir, wasn't that good seed that you sowed in the field? Where did all these weeds come from?" And he answered, "This has to be the work of an enemy. There are things that have sprouted up in my soul, in my mind, in my heart that were not planted by God. An enemy has done this. An enemy has come and done this." And what the anointing of Jesus does, that disarming, the reason he came is to uproot everything that the enemy planted. So let me talk with you a little bit about trauma. I wanted to give you sort of my inspiration from the Bible for this ministry. A picture of what's happening, that if we are a field, and we have planted the word of God in us, then and it's good seed, it's incorruptible. We know what it produces. Then why is our heart divided? Why is there peace and faith and hope and joy, but there's also fear, control, anxiety, defense mechanisms, pushing away, shutting down, numbing out, overexcited, over-responding. Why are there are these patterns of behavior that get triggered in situations? Surely an enemy has done this. That's a seed that came from a situation, a circumstance, an event in your life, in my life. And it's grown up also. And today the Master Gardener is here to uproot that, to undo, to dissolve, to unravel. So what is trauma? I think most of us are very familiar when we talk about our military veterans and PTSD, and we think that's trauma, you know, being on a battlefield. Guess what? We were born onto a battlefield as believers, right? You know, we live in this tension of, you know, Jesus said, in this world, there will be trouble. We are standing on a battlefield. And that's a whole different message than, which, you know, I know Glenn has addressed this before as well, about when do I stand, when do I rest, and when do I fight? That's sort of the tension that we have to be led through in this life. Trauma can be huge. It can be a horrific event. It can be battlefield. It can be seeing people slaughtered and killed. It can be violation, abuse. It can be a horrible accident that you're involved in. It can be the loss in your body of something. It can be a diagnosis. It can be the loss of a loved one, right? So we know these things are trauma, but what we find in our ministry is that Jesus often leads people back to things they didn't really think were traumatic. And it's usually when you're very young. You hear your parents fighting, and it frightens you. You're 4 years old, and you hear raised voices, and you hear shouting, and you hear yelling, and suddenly you're not safe. You do not feel safe. That's trauma. Because when a circumstance occurs, when an event occurs, the enemy is there to plant a seed. You're not safe. You better take care of yourself. You can't trust anybody. They don't really love you. You're on your own. You're going to have to figure it all out yourself. You're not lovable enough to keep them together. You should have done something to keep them together. 4 years old. You better take care of yourself. Better not let anybody in. Better not trust anybody. Better not love anybody too much. These are the seeds that get planted because of the trauma, because there is a moment of great vulnerability when we're frightened, when we feel unsafe, when the foundation of the little world that we live in as a child gets shaken in some way. Parents separate, a financial crisis occurs. It can be as little, seemingly, as your parent didn't pick you up when they were supposed to, and everyone else has left the playground or the front of the school, and you're standing there and everyone's gone and you're waiting. That's trauma. Because it suggests to you, you've been abandoned, you're not safe, you can't trust. A friend of mine shared a testimony once about trauma. It seems so small. She had, as a young woman, had been artistic and an artist, and her then fiance said something to her very harsh, criticizing her the way she draws. And he was skilled himself. And so he really diminished what she had done. And she realized 20 years later, she quit painting. That was trauma. That was bad seed. Her heart got divided. Trauma, the enemy, the thief, he's after your identity. He's after your destiny. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. But trauma can come and veil, obscure, can hide, can cause us, of our subconscious or consciously, to make some vows within ourselves. I will never. I will always. They will always. It will always be. I'm not going to let this happen. This isn't going to happen again. I'll never put myself out there. I'll never let them see the real me. And so our identity and our destiny gets tampered with. It gets sideswiped, it gets dinged, it gets knocked out of alignment, or it gets put on a shelf, or we put it in a drawer, or it gets paralyzed or locked up or shut down, buried alive. Here's the thing I want you to know. It matters to Jesus. It matters to Jesus what you've experienced, whether it was feeling inadequate, feeling shame. I have a friend who, she's louder than me. She's so loud, and she's so boisterous and so exuberant and loves God, she cannot get up in front of people and share her testimony. And she has an incredible testimony to share. She can't. And so I said, you know what? This is just out of character for you. Something's off here. Can we ask the Lord about it? And we asked the Lord about, would he show her where this began? I knew there was trauma somewhere. And he took her back to first grade when she was in a play. And she was so happy because she's such a ham bone. And she was so happy to be up on a stage. And she forgot her lines and the audience laughed. The enemy came at that moment and planted a seed. And she shut up publicly. He came to undo this stuff. He came to dissolve it. He came to unravel it. He came to heal and reconcile any division in the heart because of trauma. So very quickly, this is a book by I think he's a neurologist. He's somebody a lot smarter than me. And he wrote this book called The Body Keeping Score. And it's brain science. And what I love about this book, The Body Keeps Score, is that it absolutely lines up with what we see the Lord doing. The ministry of Jesus for trauma. This is all about trauma. It's brain, mind, and body in the healing of trauma. And there's another book, I couldn't find it, I've given it away, I guess, by Jim Banks, who is kind of the grandpa of trauma ministry. Most of us have learned under Jim Banks, been to his workshops, received prayer from him, read his book, and then, of course, John and Sonia Roper here at Christ Healing Center, my mentors, they have taught me so much about trauma and trauma ministry. But in this book, The Body Keeps the Score, basically it says, and I'm going to just sort of summarize it, stuff happens and the body's got to do something with it. It gets put somewhere. Something has to be done with it. And so I like to think of it as an app that's always open. These things that have happened in our life that are traumatic, it's always, some part of the body and the brain is always trying to process that. When you're very young and trauma happens, you begin to come up with a belief system about yourself and the world and others that's faulty and wrong because we think like children. The brain continues to try and do something with this. The body tries to do something with this. I've prayed for people who for trauma, and this has happened a few times, and I feel like the Lord is like, speak to their toe, their big toe. And so I speak to the big toe to release the trauma, and they say, how did you know my toe hurts all the time? I'm like, well, I didn't, but it makes sense. Your body was shutting that thing as far away as it could get. Parts of the brain that get lit up because of trauma, when it becomes like a disorder, when it becomes problematic in your life, it's because the brain, the part of the brain that got lit up, fight or flight, right? There's something, I'm afraid, I've been shocked, I've been thrown off balance, and a part of the brain gets lit up, and chemicals are released to cope with that situation, to handle it. And what happens is, it doesn't go back to normal. It doesn't go back to this place that it originally was designed to be at. I call it shalom. I believe shalom is the original operating system of our bodies, that all the other systems of the body, circulatory, neurological, chemical, muscular, skeletal, pulmonary, are all designed to run off of that operating system, which is shalom. And shalom is the word for peace that means nothing missing, nothing broken, whole. So when trauma comes in, that can get jacked up. And we cannot get back to shalom. And we might be able to sort of manage to handle things, but something is out of alignment. And trauma has found an opening, and I know that there is a spirit attached to trauma. And it comes in, and it begins to try and set up a counterfeit, alternate, parallel operating system, where your mind continues to think the same thoughts over and over again. And you don't want those thoughts, but it's almost like it's programmed to continue to think over these things. Maybe you rehash a memory. Maybe you rehash an offense. Maybe you play over and over in your mind condemning thoughts about yourself. Trauma cuts through neural pathways and finds a familiar road to travel. Science calls it a trigger. It's the access that trauma has had in the mind and in the body to perpetuate itself. And we think, that's just the way I am. It's just me. It's not you. It's what trauma, the enemy, has done. It's a knot. It's a wound. And so what I see the Lord do is a divine delete of that old operating system. And I'm going to pray over you in a few minutes, very, very soon. But I just wanted to give you a few testimonies. You may, when I pray over you, you may doze off. You may fall asleep. And I know that that's good, because your intellect is being bypassed and the Lord's going straight to some things. You may feel something in your body. We had a woman recently. She had come across the body of her neighbor, a young mother who'd committed suicide. And the children had come running to get this neighbor, this woman. The dead woman's children had come to get her. And so this had happened a few years ago, and she had not been able to shake this. And she said, I am so anxious. I am so fearful. I'm so worried about my kids. And she described this state that she's living in. And it was very easy to see that this event had triggered the parts of the brain that get triggered in an emergency, in a traumatic event, and the brain had not gone back to shalom. And so she had all these thoughts going about her inability as a mother to protect her children, and her failure as a mother, and her confidence in the Lord to protect her children. She became extremely fearful. And this is something I wanted to add in Romans 6. It says, in the Amplified version, and I've got the scripture down there, but I got these nice shoes on, I can't get down in. It says, do you not know that whatever you yield to becomes your master? Fear, if we yield to it, can become our master. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, but we can yield to something other than the Lord, and it becomes our master. It's Romans 6 something in the Amplified. And that was a life-changing scripture for me. What have I yielded to? What have I submitted to? It's become the boss of me. You know, if you've got little kids, you're not the boss of me. And trauma is not the boss of you. Trauma is not the boss of you. Trauma has no authority in your life. That's why it's so easy to get rid of it. And that's what we're going to do. This woman came in, and she also had physical ailments. She had a lump in her breast. And I thought, I think there's a connection. I didn't say this to her, but I felt like the Lord was saying, there's a connection. And I went, well, that makes sense. Maternal breast, right? There's a lump in her breast, and this happened after this event where this woman took her life and left her children. And sure enough, we got a letter from her a couple of weeks later, and she said, all the anxiety is gone. All the fear is gone. And she goes, and that lump in my breast is gone.
Yes.
Dissolved, untied, undone. A friend of mine had the trauma prayer prayed for her daughter. It was recorded, and she prayed it for her. And her daughter had had something for years. I don't know if it was ever diagnosed. I don't know if it was ever seen on an imaging thing, but she was always, there's something in my throat. She was constantly like, I can feel this thing in my throat. And after the trauma prayer was prayed over her, she said, it's gone. That thing is gone. I prayed for a woman who went through horrible, unimaginable years of abuse at the hands of foster people, foster families, and her own biological brother. And she came to us in such pain physically, so much pain in her body that she's trying to manage and, you know, get medical attention for. And we prayed over her for a very long time, going after trauma. And we said, when we were done, how are you doing? She goes, the pain's all gone. Trauma will manifest in the body, oftentimes. And that's in here as well. The body's doing something with it. And it often will manifest. Jesus comes to redeem the trauma, to find the gold in the trauma, in the events. He works all things for good. So whatever life has thrown at us, whatever the world has thrown at us, whatever the enemy has come to do, Jesus can take that and redeem it. And it becomes a trophy. I've got a trophy case that used to belong to trauma. Trauma thought I was its trophy. And now I've got a trophy case of traumatic stuff that happened to me that the Lord unraveled, dissolved, undid. Because that's why he came. I want to share one story. A woman came to the center. And she had been struggling with depression and had been very despondent and had attempted to take her own life and was coming for ministry in the aftermath of all of that. And the prayer ministers went after the trauma that had led her to this place of believing the lie that she could not live any longer or cope with it any longer. And we asked the Lord to show her what he was doing in her heart. And she said, he's doing surgery on my heart. He's cutting away the part that felt dead. And my heart's coming back to life. And then she had this moment. She said, he's using the knife I used to try to kill myself. That's the genius of God. That's the redemption of Jesus. So, I want to pray over you, and this will take, I'm going to get you out of here at our regular time at, what is our regular time? 10:45? Okay. And we've got prayer folks here who will be interceding and praying. If you feel a touch on you, it's because they felt led to just come and bless you and join in and partner with what God's doing. Prayer ministers, please go freestyle. And you may fall asleep. You may feel nothing. You may just go, well, that was nice. You know, that was 15 minutes. I got to be still. But I want you to know that I know that he does something. Something's going to happen for you. You are not going to miss what God is doing. It's often been a fear of mine, is that everybody else will get blessed with me. It's my own little fear of missing out. Something is going to happen because Jesus is here. And we're going to open that gift. We're going to open that gift that has your name on it, that he wrapped up at the cross for you. This is your day. This is your day. And I want you to know something else. I may have mentioned this earlier, but I feel to stress it again. What happened to you matters to him. It matters to him. And in many cases, he's wept with you, and he said, that was wrong. It never should have happened. That shouldn't have been done to you. Now let's turn it into your trophy and not let it beat you up any longer. Let's redeem it. Let's undo it, dissolve it, unravel it today. So close your eyes, get comfortable, lay on the floor if you want, stretch out on the chairs. Like I said, some people may fall asleep, and that's good. Men especially tend to fall asleep because they've got so much going on all the time that when someone gives them permission to just like not have anything going on, I can't tell you how many men I've prayed over snoring. I love it. I'm like, what does Jesus sound like? A snore. Okay, so with your permission, I'm going to speak to your bodies. I'm going to speak to your minds. I'm going to speak to your identities. I'm going to speak to your soul. I'm going to speak to everything that is a part of you that makes you you. And we're going to take back some stuff today, okay? We're going to give Jesus some time and room and space to take back some things. Get some things back into alignment. Delete some stuff that's been processing and processing. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, and because of his finished work on the cross, I take authority over this dimension, time, and space. And I say, come, do your thing. Do what you came for. Disarm. Dissolve. Undo. Unwrap. Come, Jesus. This is your ministry of reconciling hearts so that they're whole and no longer divided. Bringing shalom, bringing yourself. I speak to anything in the realm of the soul or the spirit that would try to interfere or disrupt or distract or diminish. And I say you have no authority here. This is Jesus, the living God. And so I just bind everything that would try to speak or interfere right now and say, hush. You're not permitted. And I speak first of all with the affection of Jesus to your body, your physical body. And your body's going to understand this in a way that your brain may not. And I tell you, you are safe. Release now the trauma from wherever it's stored in your physical body, down to the cellular level, into the marrow of the bones. Release trauma wherever you've stored it, wherever it's lodged, wherever it has lingered, any residue of trauma in your physical body, release it now. And your body gets this. The exit sign is your breath. As you breathe out, that naturally and quietly and gently and easily, the trauma will be offloaded. So breathe it out. Release the trauma now. I give your body permission in the name of Jesus Christ to release trauma and all of its effects. The tension, the anxiety, the apprehension, the worrying about the future, the not feeling of not measuring up, the striving that produces, the shame, the cowering, the hiding. Release it in the name of Jesus Christ. Release, release, release. Out of every part of your body, out of soft tissue, out of internal organs, out of the lungs, breathe it out. It's not yours to keep. It's bad seed. An enemy has done this. You get to reject it today. And you know where to put it. I'm speaking to your body. On the breath, breathe it out. Release. Release. All of the sadness, the profound, debilitating sadness that has overshadowed your life, Jesus is here to overshadow it. Breathe that out. The grief that has not run its course, breathe it out. Everything that trauma has activated and ignited, initiated in you, breathe it out. Release, release. It's a counterfeit system. Trauma is a counterfeit system. And I say to trauma right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have no authority here. I command trauma and its effects out of your body in the name of Jesus Christ. And I put the finished work of his cross, his disarming, redemptive work between you and trauma and all of its effects, separating you from it now. The curse of trauma being redeemed because he went to the cross and became it on your behalf. Release, release, release. And I say, curse of trauma, be gone now. Your time is up. And this is the day. Release, release, release. I speak to the chemical and electrical activity in the brain, and I call it back into a place of shalom. Dial down out of the red where it's been jacked up into the red at a second's notice. In a flash, it gets triggered again. Dialing that down now in the name of Jesus Christ. Electrical and chemical activity and exchanges and production in the adrenal glands back into alignment with the operating system of heaven, which is shalom, which is your birthright, which is your inheritance, which is your covenant with God, whose name is peace. I speak to internal organs, joints, connective tissue, vertebrae, to release now all trauma. I command trauma out of those places in your body. And every manifestation in your body of trauma, I command it to stop now in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Release. Release. Breathe it out. I speak to the parts of you that got shut down, paralyzed, taken captive by trauma. And I ask you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to touch those parts of you that got dented, sideswiped, dinged, damaged, paralyzed, stuck. In another time and place, in another dimension. Father, as Good Shepherd, come and bring those, gather those parts up and bring them forward now through the timeline of their life so that they are no longer held in another place, time, and dimension, but are brought forward in time to this moment, this place, this level of maturity, fully integrated into the whole, like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle being put into place so that the picture is more apparent. The picture that God saw when he thought of you. Fully integrated, no longer lost, no longer out of reach, no longer divided. Every part of you that trauma touched and put its fingerprints on and tried to claim as its own, I say freedom, be set free, be restored. Father, cleanse, heal, cleanse of all defilement, restore, renew, and put those parts and pieces back into place. Put tenderness, put courage back into place. Put innocence, childlike optimism back into place. Joy, hope, confidence, identity, faith. And I say to trauma, get your hands off his and her connection with God. That's holy ground. And you're trespassing. And I'm calling you out today. These do not belong to you. These belong to the living God, and he is jealous for them, and he wants you back. All of you. And today he's taking back the parts of you that trauma tried to hijack. And as you breathe in, allow the exchange to occur. The breath of God, the presence of God, see it as you breathe it in. It's the same breath he breathed into Adam. It's the same breath Jesus breathed on the disciples. It's in the atmosphere. Breathe it in. Breathe in. As your body releases trauma, as your mind lets go of trauma, as your mind and your memories are freed from the effects of trauma, breathe in the breath of God. And let it go into those places that trauma tried to occupy, where trauma tried to set up a counterfeit, illegitimate kingdom, where trauma tried to call the shots and be the boss of you. Let all of that be dissolved and unraveled by the breath of God. This is real. Your body gets this. Your spirit gets this. Breathe it in. Let the breath of God do its work. And Father, I ask that every trigger that has operated against them, every familiar pathway that trauma has traveled on in the mind, that you disconnect those places now. That you touch the memories, like going through a filing cabinet, touching each memory, and now, in the name of Jesus Christ, sever and disconnect every memory, every familiar pathway that trauma has traveled upon. Disconnect and sever it from trauma so it has no power any longer. Like cutting the cord on an appliance or unplugging it. No power. Memories are powerless ghosts. They can be recalled. They might be remembered, but they no longer have any power to trigger, to take you or hold you or attempt to keep any part of you captive. I speak over you a divine release, a divine delete of the operating system of trauma. And I say, Holy Spirit, now come in the name of Jesus Christ and download, reset, the operating system of shalom. And let every system of the body be integrated and fully connected to that. That's the boss of you. Shalom. Not a harsh taskmaster. Not like trauma. I speak of freedom over you from every effect of trauma. from every trigger that has operated as a curse in your life. A force operating against you, being nullified today, undone, deleted, because Jesus says so. I declare over you your true identity, made in the image of God. A carrier of his glory. A child. Beloved. Royalty. Breathe that in. Breathe in your identity. Who he says you are. Who you know you are. But trauma's kept it just out of reach. Breathe that in. Father, fill them as they breathe you in with a new measure of your Holy Spirit. Every place trauma tried to occupy, the kingdom of God has drawn near and is expanding within you as you breathe it in. The kingdom of God expanding within you, taking back what has always been God's. I speak over you and I say you are people of shalom. You carry shalom. You release shalom. I speak shalom into your perceptions, your thoughts of the future, your view of yourself. I speak shalom into your relationships, shalom into your connection with God. You are no longer a slave to fear. You are a child. In the name of Jesus. If anybody would like a prayer, our prayer ministers are happy to come to your chair. Y'all are welcome to stay here if you like. Those of you who need to leave, obviously, you're free to go. This concludes our program. thank you, Jesus. And if you want to come up here for prayer, you know, we're always here, but we're around. So if you'd like, you want to stay where you are, raise your hand.